Wonderful. Well, welcome to Palm Sunday.
Yes.
Yeah. How many of you grew up at either a lot or one or two times ever have gone to a church where they give you palm branches? Oh, wow. Like almost all of you guys. Yeah. Yeah. I remember when I was telling someone, I remember when we had the old barn and I think it was cows at the time, either pigs or cows, but I think it was cows at the time. And we had gone to a service and we had palm branches and you nailed it up and they're hung it up in the barn. And I remember as a kid walking by diligently doing my work to help with the cows, diligently looking up, you know, because it was way up there, looking at that palm branch hanging up. And I just thought that was really cool. Hey, I used to carry the, you know, before the pipelines and all that stuff, I carried the bucket that the cows emptied their milk into and had to lift it. The bulk tank was like here on me because I was a little guy. Had to lift that thing up and dump it through the little strainer thing, mesh deal, whatever. There's a few. Well, I'm little. I wasn't that strong and the milk was heavy. And so, but that was my job, or at least one of my jobs. So yeah, welcome to Palm Sunday. And so this is the Sunday where historically where Jesus, the first day of kind of the Passion Week, the Holy Week, and it's when Jesus rode into Jerusalem and it kind of started off what we're going to be celebrating this week, culminating with Good Friday and then Easter. But there's lots of little touch points along the way. And so that's actually what we're talking about today, talking about Palm Sunday. And so you guys kind of know the story and, you know, we'll be reading some of that. And it's one of the handful of things that is mentioned in all four Gospels. One of the very few handful of things that that story is in all four Gospels. Very few things are in all four Gospels. Some will be in one or two or even three, but to get all four. And so it's important. It's important. So the story is, you know, Jesus is coming in, and we're going to read some of that. And not out of all four Gospels, but you know, the people were shouting and throwing down palm branches or cutting branches from the fields and trees or whatever and laying down putting, you know, there was a donkey involved and whatever and all that kind of stuff. So we're going to talk a little bit about that story today. So we're going to do a little bit of this. Now, those of you that are good with vocabulary, there's something wrong what's wrong with this? Tail is spelt wrong. How is it supposed to be spelled?
T-A-I-L,
because we're not talking about a donkey's tail today. We're talking about the donkey's tail, T-A-L-E. It's a story about a little donkey, and I was going to sing it, but I didn't. Yes, if you pinned that one, it would be the last thing you remember for today. Right, correct. Let's move on. Yes, let's move on. So we're going to, who would have known that a lack of finding your seats and a donkey would get the biggest reaction that we've gotten out of you guys in years? Wow. So all we need to get COC fired up is a game of, musical chairs? Musical chairs and a donkey. And you guys, it's a revival for you guys. So we're gonna actually read the donkey story out of all four Gospels. We're not going to read the entire, you know, triumphal entry story. And that's what it's called, Palm Sunday. It's called the triumphal entry when that's what we're celebrating is Jesus coming into Jerusalem. But we're going to read the donkey story out of all four Gospels, which is something we don't hardly ever do, is, you know, do all of those. So we're going to start in Luke. Luke chapter 19, 28 through 31 says this. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent how many of his disciples? Good, you're with me. He sent two of his disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you. Now, just kind of capture in your hearts and your mind's imagination of kind of what's happening here. He sent two of his disciples, and he said to them, go to the village ahead of you. As you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it? Say, the Lord needs it. Those who were sent ahead went, and they found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, why are you untying the colt? they replied, "The Lord needs it." All right, pretty straightforward. There's some pretty miraculous things in there. Pretty cool. We could pick a bunch of different things out of there, but we're just going to keep going. We're going to read the other two more of the gospel stories. We're going to read Mark next, and going to see kind of what Mark has to say about the situation. And again, so we'll do this really three times before we talk about it a little bit. So two more. So just kind of think of where Jesus was at, how many disciples were involved, what he was telling them to do, what was going to happen when they got there, right? So you got your first run through the story. You guys got to remember that every little mark in the scripture, God preserves that. Jot or tittle is what the King James calls it. But the smallest stroke of a pen is preserved. And so if God went through the trouble of putting the story in there four times, it's got to be important. So someone afterwards is going to tell me the importance of this, but we're going to read it four times anyways. So we go on to Mark next. So as they approached Jerusalem, so they weren't in Jerusalem yet, and they came to Bethphage and Bethany, so that's the same. We hear that in the Gospel of Luke. And at the Mount of Olives, we hear that. Jesus sent how many disciples?
Two.
Okay, and what did he do to two disciples? He sent them. So the donkey was not where Jesus was. Are we getting that? We're just kind of peeling back pages of the story here. So we just kind of, everyone gets on the same page of what's really going on in this story. Y'all are like, okay, it's not that hard. I just want to make sure that we're all tracking the same here. So Jesus sent two disciples saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you," same as we heard in Luke, "and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord needs it, and we'll send it back here shortly.'" Now that reads a little bit differently. So Jesus was making sure that they knew that they're going to get their colt back. Okay. They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied in a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, "What are you doing untying that colt?" They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. Okay? Everyone good so far? It's the donkey tale. Okay? Now we're going to go to Matthew. Here we go. Matthew says it like this. As they approached Jerusalem, so not in Jerusalem yet, everyone's on the same page, they came to Bethphage. Now he didn't mention Bethany, but he mentioned the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent how many disciples?
Two.
And what did he do to them? Sent them, right. He sent two disciples saying, "Go to the village ahead of you." Again, that's the same. "And at once," that's a little different. He said, "At once, you will find a donkey tied there." Whoa, wait, with her colt by her. Hold on now. Now, Matthew tells us there's two donkeys. Okay. "And bring them to me. Untie them." So you'll find a donkey there, tied there with her colt by her. "Untie them and bring," oh, I missed a them. "And bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." Interesting. So there's more donkeys. "This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet." See, now Matthew is going to go back to the Old Testament here. And this is Zechariah 9, which we're going to read in just a second. But he quotes a little bit of it. "What was spoken through the prophet, 'Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey.'" Oh, so we see in the original prophecy. Now you got to remember, Matthew is writing to an audience that he knew would understand the Old Testament. So that Matthew's hook is he expects the readers of his gospel to know the Old Testament. And so he made sure that he mentioned a donkey and the colt of a donkey. Now, they're all right. I mean, there was a donkey there, right? And Matthew is just kind of clarifying that. So then he quotes the scripture, actually, because he knew the readers would know about it. It doesn't really do any good to quote scripture to someone who's never heard of the Bible or never, you know, in those days, scrolls, you know, they would have never been in synagogue or whatever. So, you know, obviously Luke is the doctor. He's the meticulous one. Mark is the... like, it's intense. Mark is, you know, Mark's gospel is, it's the shortest and it's the most intense. It reads most like a story. It is action, action, action. It is the action thriller, right? And Luke is more of the textbook. It's going to tell you from a doctor's perspective. It's going to do a careful examination, and Matthew is kind of going to hit the Jewish side of things. So that's how the Gospels are. Why do we need four of them? Well, because they all have a little different perspective. So the disciples went and did as Jesus instructed them. I'm going to read that verse out of Zechariah 9 that Matthew quoted here. It says in Zechariah 9:9 in the NIV, "Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." How cool is that? So we got three different stories, three different donkey tales, okay? And we know they must be important because they were preserved, right, for us to be able to read them. And so this donkey was prophesied 500 years earlier. This donkey's got a rich history, right? Think about that. This donkey was talked about 500 years before Christ. God had this in mind. And now Jesus riding into Jerusalem is this prophetic act. It's this fulfillment of prophecy. And so just another one of the many, 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 many prophecies that were fulfilled to know that Jesus really was the Messiah. And let's talk about the donkey some more. So this is just gonna be kind of fun. I'm gonna take a little bit of liberty here, and I was kind of going through the process of, I wonder why the donkey story is so important, because it's in all of these Gospels. And so I didn't come up with a good solid answer, but I wrote down some of the things that were just popping in my head that were just kind of taking scripture and then applying it to our lives today. So give me a little bit of grace. So look at your neighbor, say grace. Grace. Okay, little bit of grace, just a little. This is all within the confines of scripture, and it's all biblical. I'm not sure exactly that this is what all this story means, but it's things that I picked out of it. So you know why I'm weird, right? So first thing I saw out of this donkey tale is that to be used by God, you have to expand your boundaries. Old donkeys used to about 5 feet in life, right? Right? He can go here, and he can go, I don't know, maybe it was 10 feet. How long are donkey leashes? How long are donkey leashes in ancient Jerusalem? I don't really know. But for the sake of our argument today, let's decide that they're 7.5 feet. I don't know why 7.5. Some of you poor guys, now you look like you're confused by that. Why 7.5 feet? Okay, 5 feet. So he can go here. He can go here, right? The donkey's kind of stuck. The donkey was used of God to fulfill a 500-year-old prophecy. How incredible. But in order for that to happen, right, there had to be a little expanding of boundaries. If you guys want to be used of God, and I'm assuming that we do. Do we? Yes, we want to be used of God. Sometime you're going to have to get out of your comfort zone. You're going to have to go beyond what you've done before. And that doesn't mean you just need to go off and rent a sound system and a van and go traveling across the country because you just thought it might be a good idea. Like, right, there's steps to these things, right? How about maybe try 6 feet first before we try 25 kilometers? Kilometers. Well, there's no imperial measurements in Jerusalem. So, just a thought I had. So you got to get beyond your boundaries. You got to get beyond where you're used to going and doing and thinking and saying. Sometimes your boundaries are, we talked about this morning, the way we think. Come on. Some of you are leashed up. Can't get that far, right? The way you think is pulling you back. Some of you, it's just, wow, I don't want to go talk to those group of people. Right? Kind of leashed in here, right? And it's comfortable here. But I really want to be used of God. Next, untying is always for a purpose. Every one of those, every gospel of those three that we read talked about, you're going to find it tied up there. They went and they found it tied. Jesus said, untie it. As you untie it, if anyone's saying anything, when you're untying it, tell them this. They went, they found the donkey tied up, they untied it, and they said this. They told him what the Lord said, and they brought it out. This donkey had to get free. And freedom in your life, it's always for you. a purpose. When God sets you free, it's not just to, oh, okay, so you can be free now. It's to be free for a purpose. It's not just anarchy. It's not just so you can do whatever you want. Freedom is for kingdom purposes. God doesn't want you stuck because you're made in his image. He doesn't want you all bound up. He wants to set you free. But when he sets you free, then it needs to be for his glory. So I threw a verse in there. Galatians 5:13 says, use your freedom to serve one another in love. You see, there's a purpose for freedom. There's a purpose for freedom. Amen? There's a purpose for freedom. Serve one another in love. All right, the third goofy thing that I saw in this today is sometimes you need help. Pretty like little donkey could not do it on his own. Sometimes we're a little scared to ask people for help, aren't we? We know we need freedom. We know God wants to do something in our lives, right? Amen? Anyone ever, well, see, I'm going to ask you a question about being scared to do something, so you're going to be too scared to raise your hand. So I know that if no one raises their hand, that it's probably all true. Has anyone ever needed help and been too scared to ask, right? Yeah, right? We wrestle with that, don't we? Well, I can figure it out on my own or whatever. Sometimes we need help. Sometimes we need help. Now, another interesting thing I saw here is we're waiting for permission to be free. I noticed that Jesus never asked those guys that owned that donkey, Curtis. He never asked for permission. Now, he had a solution. He had something to tell them, and he knew that that would resonate in their heart. And I'm thinking, if you're God, like, it's good. Like, it's not good to think like this, and it's a good thing that we're not God. But I'm thinking, if you can orchestrate all of that, why wouldn't you have let them know ahead, like some writing in the sky or something, like you let them know that someone's coming to get your donkey today? Right, exactly. An email, text, something, right? Smoke signal, something. A scroll mail. I don't know. But he didn't. He allowed them to be offended in that moment, but then he knew it would work out well. But he didn't take care of that part of it. And he didn't ask them permission. And I think, let me be careful with this. I think a lot of times we're waiting for permission to get free. I'm waiting for my addiction to just let me know that it's time to quit. I'm waiting for that bad relationship, for them to just say, hey, maybe we should work on this. I'm waiting, you know what I mean? Like, we're waiting for some little sign, or like, not to belittle that, but God wants us free and wants us to respond to his word and wants us to respond to his spirit and to his presence. And often the things that have us in bondage are not going to give us permission to be free. Amen? They're going to fight to keep you bound up. And so sometimes we're waiting for permission. Jesus didn't wait for permission. I know, we're giving me a little grace here. We're pushing out the boundaries a little bit on this scripture. But I think it's a principle that's true. Jesus said, just go get the donkey. Just don't worry about it. I've got it taken care of. Don't worry about it. We'll figure it out later. And then we kind of mentioned this one already, but you've got to leave your comfort. Not only do you got to expand your boundaries, but you got to expand what you're comfortable with. Sometimes boundaries are physical, right? You've got, you know, I don't want to go there. I don't want to do that. I don't want to. How many like your routine? Yes. The other 98% of you just lied. We are creatures of habit. Let's say that you didn't lie. You just didn't participate, okay? We are creatures of habit, and we like that. We're comfortable with that. We know what to expect because we like to know what to expect. I like to know that there's going to be toothpaste and my toothbrush is going to work and that, right, there's not going to be a spider in the sink, right? You know, like, I like my routine and I like it to go well because all of you know exactly how many times you can hit the snooze before you get, because you know your routine. Okay, well, all right. Well, if I just brush my teeth Thursday, then I could sleep in another 3 more minutes. Right? We've kind of got it all calculated out. Oh, that shirt's not that wrinkled. I could wear that again. Right? We know our routines. We know how things go, and we like that. And sometimes you've got to get out of your comfort zone. I had a great illustration, but I can't bring it up. I was just having a conversation about this with someone, about impacting people's lives and just, like, we're all in these routines. Have you ever talked to somebody, you're like, man, we need to get together. We should do coffee or something. How many times do you get together and do coffee? You don't do it because I go to work at this time, I work until this time, and then I go home, and then I feed my cat, and then I write, and then I make supper, and whatever. And you just were in this routine. And it's not that we don't think it's a good idea, and it's not even that we don't always have time, but we have a routine, right? I'm not picking on you for your routines. You feel like I'm picking on you. I'm not picking on you. I like routines as well. But I'm saying that sometimes if we're going to experience something new from God, we've got to step out of our routines. We've got to step out of what's comfortable. Yeah, he's not said yes. Yes. I feel like there's, Travis, I feel like there's a lot of authority behind that statement. Like you've been there. You've been on that road. You've been down that path. There's a rich history of experience speaking through the lines of pain that are going across your face right now. Don't mess with the routines, he says. And I see this in the story. Your stuff is given to you to be used by God and for God. And we heard that. And Stephen said that this morning. We're willing to let go what we're willing to let go. And that's it. And especially in America. My stuff is my stuff. Keep your hands off my stuff. Keep your hands on your stuff and whatever. Like, and God says, I need your donkey. And they say, okay. The Lord needs it. Okay. The Lord needs it. Okay. What in your life today, the Lord needs it? Ooh, not okay. Right? We love these stories when they're about someone else's donkey, don't we? Amen. Amen. As long as it's their donkey, I'm all for that. I agree with this, Pastor. That's great. Wait a minute. You need to use my donkey? Oh, hold on a second. Our shots aren't up to date. Right? We've got an excuse why we're kind of hanging on to our gifts and talents and stuff. And, well, it's, I mean, yeah, we're all for that, right? And like Stephen said, we'll give, how about if I just give you, I'll give you some money towards a donkey. Right? Here's 10 bucks. Go talk to a few other people. Maybe you guys could buy your own.
You're just messing with too much stuff.
It's true. It's true. Hey, if one of us is in pain, all of us are in pain, right? Yeah. Here's a good one. Number 7. We don't need all the specifics. Just obey. How many disciples did he send? What did he do with that? What did he tell them to do? Go. Yeah, sent them. Yep. Did he give them detailed explanations about exactly what the donkey was going to be used for, how it needed to be fed, how long the leash was, what kind of knot was going to be in there? What if it's a clove hitch knot? I've never untied a clove hitch knot. I don't really know about that. What if the leather has been, you know, swelled up and then it's all tight? You know, what if the donkey's in a bad mood? Hey, wait, I didn't know there was going to be a colt too, right? You two go. Get the donkey in the next town. It's all you need to know. At once, right away, when you get to the town, you're going to see a donkey. It's going to be tied up. Bring it here. So what? Wait a minute. Did he tell you what the donkey was for? No. Well, he didn't tell me what the donkey's for. He must know what the donkey's for. Better call. Yeah. Better say, we're on our way to get this donkey. Isn't it great that some days Jesus has an unlisted number, right? Right? It's good that, I mean, go ahead and question all you want. He's not going to tell you often because it's obedience he wants. Just obey. 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 We don't even like saying that word. Just feels cringy. Obey. Right? Let's talk about someone else's donkey again, right? But he just said, go, do that, and they had no idea the magnitude of the event that they were about to participate in. Sometimes your obedience would be wiped out if you knew the magnitude of the power of God that was about to be unleashed. God just says, you don't need to know. Just go do it. Just get the donkey. Hey, can you walk? We can do that. You know where the next town is? He does. Yep. Okay. You know what a donkey looks like? Pretty sure we do. Okay. If you can't get the knot, ask for help. I don't know, but just find a donkey. It's going to be tied up. Untie it. Bring it here. Okay. What if you would have asked them, hey, how would you guys like to be involved in the fulfillment of a 500-year-old prophecy? This prophecy hinges on me being the Messiah or me not, right? Oh, you better send someone else. You know where the next town is? Yep. You know what a donkey looks like? Yep. Right? Sometimes he withholds the information for our benefit. Look at your neighbor and say, that's good. That's good. That's a good thing. And we already mentioned this, but kind of in a little different way. In 500 years, God didn't forget the donkey. I wanted to put, for 500 years, God had been orchestrating. That's what I did put, but it was too long. So God spent 500 years orchestrating these people. I don't know how many they were, they, whatever. They said, why are you untying that donkey? I don't know who they were, but they owned that donkey. And God had them lined up and knew in his mind 500 years ago that in this town that was just ahead of them on their way to Jerusalem, that they were going to find a donkey there. He knew it was ready. He knew it was willing and able. He knew that this was going to be a fulfillment of a prophecy that he prophesied through Zechariah 500 years earlier, and it was all prepared. 500 years for two donkeys to be set up for a prophetic fulfillment in front of tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of people. You think God can't figure out that whatever your deal is when you're 5 minutes late for work or whatever? Like, God can handle it. If God can orchestrate two donkeys in 500 years, God can handle your stuff. Those guys, think about this. Those guys, the two that were going to get it, I'm guessing the people that had it, because we know from their reaction, why are we getting a donkey? Why are you taking our donkey, right? They're clueless. Did not know that they had been in the middle of a 500-year-old divine orchestration. How many of you guys right now? Disciples are clueless. They're frustrated thinking someone's stealing their donkey. And right in the middle of it is Holy Spirit. Don't judge what God's doing based on your assessment of the situation right now. God's got this. Come on, keep our hearts surrendered. Keep moving forward. Keep saying yes to Jesus. Because God is orchestrating things. He's lining up. He knows what hearts need to be changed. He knows what provision needs to come in. He knows when to stop, when to move forward. Walk when he says walk, stop when he says stop. Follow the Lord. Follow the Lord. So that's what I found looking at the donkey tail. Then we've got John. We've got John comes in and chimes in on this story. So we read those three accounts of the donkey tale. And John's gospel is written a little bit later. And John's all about the majesty and the power of Jesus. You know, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, right? He's with God in the beginning. Everything that's been made, there's nothing that's been made that's not been made that's made by him. He's made everything, right? He's just on and on and on. He wants you to see the majesty of God. And his gospel is written a little bit later. The first three are called synoptic gospels. You ever heard that term before? Synoptic. That means the same or similar or whatever. They're congruent. And so John is not one of the synoptic gospels, but he is one of the gospels. And he's written a little bit later. And so here's what we see in John's gospel. Here's the donkey tale according to John. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. This is in John 12. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. John is capturing this. And they're quoting, I don't know if you know this or not, they're quoting Psalms here. They're quoting this Psalm, 118, 25 through 26. Lord, save us. That's what Hosanna means. So they're quoting Hosanna. Lord, save us. Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord, we bless you. So he's saying, John is just pointing out that here's the king. And this is the only time that Jesus really publicly announced that he's a king, right? All the rest of the time, he's covert, kind of behind the scenes, and hey, don't tell anybody about this. But Jesus fulfills this prophecy, and he lets them know that he's a king, right? So John's wanting you to know all of this. Jesus in his majesty is declaring his kingship, right? So here's John's account of the donkey. Jesus found a donkey and sat on it. All right, next.
You would like him.
Yeah. Really? I bet the other disciples are like, we were talked about in every one of these gospels. And John's like, yeah, I know what's important here. Come on, the king is coming to town. The king's coming to town. The king, see, John wrote his a little bit later, and he had time to marinate on this. Now I'm just putting thoughts into John's head, which is bad, but we know this is true, that it was written later. We know that he had time to think through things. And I'm guessing that John's like, yeah, I know, you guys were talked about it. You know what's important? King's in town. The king's in town. And Jesus found a donkey somewhere. He sat on it. Right? Right? Nothing about the poor guys walking over to the next town and the people that are like, why are you taking our donkey? You know, we got to untie it. The Lord needs it. Okay, you can go. We'll send it right back. None of that. Jesus found a donkey, sat on it. Come on, let's talk about the king some more. Let's talk about the king some more. So here's in context. Jesus found a donkey and sat on it as it is written, right? That's all he says about it. Do not be afraid. He quotes the verse again. Do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming. Seated on a donkey's colt. A guy by the name of Mark Boda says this, in the ancient Middle Eastern world, leaders rode horses if they rode to war, but donkeys if they came in peace. Come on. Come on. Solomon came in riding a donkey, and I think it was in, I forget, it might have been Isaiah, but anyways, one of the other examples, kings came in, the whole royal court came in riding donkeys. And that's kind of a sign of prestige and a sign of peace. We're going to rule you well. We're going to rule you in peace. We're going to rule you with authority, but with peace. And so Jesus fulfills this prophecy, comes in riding on the donkey. Let's read a little bit more in Matthew here. They brought the donkey. This is in Matthew 21 again. They brought the donkey and the colt, and they placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd. Well, a couple commentators thought that could be up to 2 million people, but a lot of people were there. A large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. All right, you see what we got going on? There's a festival, right? There's a goings on. There's a doings in town, right? Use some Midwestern terminology. A doings. I don't think they say that anywhere else. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, Hosanna, that means Lord save. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, who is this? The crowds answered, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. The whole city was stirred. The whole city was stirred, right? You guys know when there's something going on in town, right? Everybody wants to get out and see what this is. There's just this buzz going on. Everyone's right? You're getting out of your comfort zone. It's safe now. You can stick your head out because there's happening going on, right? Maybe there's a parade or maybe it's, you know, a big crash or something. We all want to go see what's happening, right? Everyone's coming out to see what's going on. The whole city was stirred up. The whole city was stirred up. And I just love this line. This is Jesus. This is Jesus. Jesus is coming to our city. Jesus is coming to town. Jesus is coming to town. So the crowds are saying this is Jesus. And so the question is he celebrity or is he king? So that's the question. That was the question for them. It's the question for us. It's the question today. Is he a famous guy that we're really excited about and he does cool stuff, right? He's got neat tricks. Or is he king? Is he a celebrity or is he king? See, at that moment, man, everybody in town wanted to know about Jesus. Who is this guy? This is Jesus. This is Jesus. Well, who is this Jesus? Well, he's from Nazareth. But who is he, man? Everyone's excited about Jesus right now. There's going to come a time when everyone's not excited about Jesus. Maybe you've experienced that already. Maybe in your workplace, maybe in your family, maybe you know, on a trip somewhere, maybe on vacation. You've run into a group of people or a situation where Jesus is not the most popular name in the room, right? All of a sudden, he's no longer a good celebrity to have in your back pocket, right? And we want to treat Jesus often like we treat a celebrity, when really, he's king. So just a couple thoughts about celebrities and kings. Crowds are fickle. Disciples are consistent. See, all these people that were out to see Jesus, see, the crowd said, this is Jesus. And they were recognizing that the king's come to town. And they were pretty stoked about that. A lot of them thought that, some of them were there when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. If you physically watched someone raise someone else from the dead, would you not be excited about that? Would you not be curious what they're doing next week? Right? I think that would be something else. We talk to people that know people overseas that this is a common thing. There's actually one guy, he's from Minneapolis. One of the evangelistic tools that he's found to be the best evangelical tool is to raise people from the dead. So over in, I think he's in India, but I'm not sure. But one of those countries, and he preached for years and would have limited results, and God just increased the power of God in his life, and finally he started praying for dead people. And they started coming back to life. And that puts a twist on the family dynamics, right? Right? Uncle Joe is dead, and now we're having lunch next Tuesday, right? Like, that speaks volumes. And so he would find that often he would go to these villages, raise someone from the dead. The entire village now is really interested in Jesus. So he's kind of a celebrity, but yet then they want to know, all right, what do we really do? What do we really do? So these crowds, some of them had seen Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead. Okay? Some of the crowds were Jews that were looking for freedom. Okay, they were looking for freedom from Rome. They were really excited. Jesus is coming in. It's kind of a political thing. It was a fulfillment of prophecy, but it's also a political thing that he's riding in this donkey. All right, Jesus is going to be our boss. He's going to be, right? He's going to oust the Roman government, and we're going to be free from Rome, and then we're going to be Israel again. And Jesus said, read the scriptures. It's not quite like that. There's an in-between period. That's going to happen. But there's an in-between time. So first I've got to die. And he told his disciples that. So the crowds that were cheering him on Palm Sunday were shouting, crucify him in just a few days. And that's how it goes with celebrities. Just watch social media, right? You think celebrities got it made and they can do no wrong. Just say the wrong thing at the wrong time to the wrong person, and all of a sudden in 2022, you're no longer popular anymore, right? Yeah, right. And so disciples walk through the hard times. Crowds are fickle. Celebrities draw crowds, and kings have subjects. Are you guys here this morning for some free bread and a resurrection show? Or are you here because you're subject of the kingdom, right? Are we here for the benefits? Now, the Bible says, forget not all of his benefits, right? Like, we want to talk about the goodness of God, of course. But at the same time, he's king. He's ruler. His authority and his kingship needs to be exercised in my life. Otherwise, I'm just a fan of the cool king stuff, right? I'm a fan of the Jesus merchandise, right? Right? I love the podcast, and I love it, right? I love, you know, we get to take communion once in a while, and it's really cool, and we get to have donuts. Donuts, did you mention? They don't mention donuts in the Bible, right? Get to have donuts and coffee, right? And that's great. But am I just a fan of Jesus, or is he king? Is he just a cool guy that we talk about and sing to, or is he king? So, crowds can be emotional and irrational. Kingdom subjects are spirit controlled. Just a couple thoughts that I wrote down about kings and celebrities, crowds and disciples. crowds are swayed to do rash things, but followers of the King, okay? You want to talk about getting in our business. If you're doing stupid things for Jesus, come on. We need to be self-controlled, right? We need to respond and act with the character that's consistent with the Holy Spirit. If I'm just launching out there and doing silly things to satisfy my human ego and tagging it with Jesus on the end of it, we might be more in the, right? I'm just saying. We'll go beyond that one because you guys are starting to turn into a crowd today. I haven't heard of Crucify Him yet, but I can feel it coming. You guys were all with me when we were talking about donkey tails, but all of a sudden now the rocks are coming out. Celebrities depend upon popularity. Kings rule with authority. Kings rule with authority. Popularity is momentary, and Jesus has an eternal kingdom. One more of these. We loved celebrities on our terms. We serve kings on theirs. Amen. That's my final thought for today. Amen. We love celebrities on our terms. I get to decide. In the celebrity business, I get to decide if they're a celebrity in my life. Sure. And if enough of us decide if they're a celebrity in life and we decide that they're not, they soon won't be. Right. Jesus will always be king. Yeah. And I also have a choice if I get to serve him on his terms. How many of us, don't raise your hand, because it's probably all of us. How many of us like the idea of Jesus? We want to serve him on our terms. Gosh. Enough to make you sick, isn't it? Man, that's hard stuff. I want you to leave encouraged, but I want you to leave challenged. Man, Jesus is about to go to the cross for you here. Right? He's about to have his flesh stripped from his body. He's about to tear that curtain in two so that there's free access. Free access doesn't mean, dude, Jesus, all right, I'll take a little bit of this and a little bit of that. He sacrificed his life so that I can come and surrender. Say, Jesus, do what needs to be done in my life. I want you to be Lord. I want you to be master. I want you to be boss of my life. Jesus, take the wheel. I want you to drive this thing. I don't want to wreck it anymore. I want to serve you well, right? Amen? Anyone need medical attention? We doing okay? All right, I love you guys. And just my challenge is just in any area of our life that Jesus has become a celebrity. God, I don't want that. I want to be excited about the benefits of God. I want to be excited about the joy he brings and the life. Amen. Love, joy, peace. That's fruits of the Holy Spirit, right? That's beneficial. But at the same time, when Jesus says, go get the donkey. And Jesus says, let him take your donkey. And Jesus says, be free. Serve me well. I want to say yes. I want to serve him. You're the king. You're the boss. Amen? Amen. God, I just pray for this group of people today. Give us a fantastic week. I pray that your presence would go with us, before us, around us, and in us, God. We just pray that we would serve you as you are, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the living God. Thank you for what you did for us. Thank you for tipping your hand and showing us who you really were. Thank you that you're coming back again someday and as the eternal King. And we just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen.